Speaking of Chicago, the Jonathan Toews story, you know, was
weird, man. It's
it really was. Like, I feel for the guy. I don't know what he's going through. He's dealing with some sort of illness or something, you know, some sort of
right.
condition.
That's the scary element of it, where it's a sickness that when no one knows what the sickness is, it scares the hell out of me.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Stan Bowman came out and said recently that, you know, they believe he should be back. They're hopeful he's going to be back. But I remember when the news broke, and I think it was Dregs that had it, that he was, you know, not showing up, not going to be playing. I don't believe it was definitive originally, like he was done for the year. But it never became something that anyone even brought up, like the idea right. that Toews was on the verge of returning. You know, it was out of sight, out of mind. He was away from the team and gone, and it was it's really too bad, and hopefully he will return. And here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What can you tell us about the Toews story and the situation and what we should be expecting here going into the offseason?
Yeah, you know what? It's a tough one for sure for all the questions that you guys have asked and the fact that we don't have a lot of answers. The only thing I know is that when I talk to, you know, those who represent Toews, and you're talking about Pat Brisson and CAA hockey and whatnot, they don't want to get into the details of what he's been through, other than to say that all of the speculation out there, and there's been crazy stuff, right? Like ALS, various cancers, all of that. None of it is accurate. None of it is accurate. And, you know, they're quick to add that he has made considerable, improvements, and yeah, they're hopeful and they're expecting that he's going to be good to go as early as the start of training camp and into next season. Beyond that, no sense of what the diagnosis is, what's gone on, whether it's physical, mental, both, all of those things. They're not letting us into that world. And I, you know what, guys, I respect that. I've always said, and I always adhere to this, even through COVID, I don't dive into the personal affairs of players. If it's a physical injury that was, you know, that happened during the play, then yeah, I'm interested in that, and I'll dig and I'll try and just, you know, disclose whatever the information is. But not when it comes to personal stuff like this. So all I can tell you is exactly what I just said. It's not believed to be dire, but there's work to be done, but the hope is that he'll be back and ready to go for next year.
Well, Darren, if it's not as serious as what you're saying, why the hesitancy to not reveal what's going on? Why is there that protection there? Is that for his own personal privacy, or that's what I'm sure the fans or anybody in the game is what's causing concern, A, and B, what they don't really understand.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Owen. I understand that, and look, I've pushed as hard as I can push, and I'm sure others have, you know, in my side of the business as well, and we're just not getting any sort of traction. So it has to be personal and it has to be private, and beyond that, I don't know. I throw it back at you guys because I'm deflecting here, obviously, and I absorb some of it myself. If it was that deeply personal and it wasn't structural or anything hockey-related, would you want the world to know about it? Or would you go, no, it's my business, and I don't want anybody to talk about it? It feels more like what I just said. And that's just my gut instinct based on what, you know, we haven't got anything from the Chicago Blackhawks. And what I told you about CAA Sports is as little as we've got from that side. So when you have it locked down to that degree, I mean, it tells you it's pretty personal, doesn't it? I mean, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that has become pretty clear, the fact that a player of that stature has just left the game and has been left alone to deal with whatever he's dealing with. And
you're
hopefully
right.
Hopefully plays again.
You're right. Like, I think, but he's earned, like, Jonathan Toews is such a class guy, and he's had, you know, been such a great ambassador for the game. He's kind of earned that right. Like, I know, like, I have no idea what is wrong with the situation, but, like, I think he deserves, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I know early on when that happened, people were like, oh, here we go with the Marian Hossa situation, because do you remember Hossa was kind of, there were some question marks as to how he went away on the cap situation. That isn't the sense here. Like, you know, Jonathan Toews is a, you know, a real, not that Hossa it wasn't, but like, just Jonathan Toews, to me, deserves the benefit of the doubt for how great he's been, not only for the Blackhawks, but for the league.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I guess, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens throughout the offseason and where it takes us. With Darren Dreger, a TSN hockey insider. What did you make of the Rangers scenario here over the last week? It's been a whirlwind. But first they get rid of the president and the GM, and now they decide to get rid of the coach. So the whole structure, you know, behind the bench and in the front office all the way up is completely turned over for a team that I thought was pretty good this year. Not great, but I wasn't expecting them to be anything other than what they were. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden it's complete upheaval. You know, am I missing something, or was this an owner that is completely impatient? Because that's kind of my inkling on this.
Well, I don't think you're far off, Brian, but are we missing something? No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like never before has the player in the National Hockey League had more power than he has right now. And I think we got a sense over the course of the season with the New York Rangers that, you know, David Quinn wanted to play a certain way, and the roster that he had, the top-end guys especially, maybe didn't want to play that way. And that doesn't make David Quinn a bad coach. That's just a philosophical difference. So when Chris Curry gets hired or promoted, I guess, as general manager and president, he's in a tough spot because he's got a history with David Quinn. They're buddies. You know, it goes back to the Boston days, all of that. But he then has to conduct exit interviews. And my sense is that he got enough dialogue from the players in the exit interviews to not force him, but encourage him to make the decision that he made. Because, you know, there had been some, again, speculation about David Quinn, certainly in the second half of the season, that made you wonder a little bit, even with Jeff Gorton as general manager and John Davidson as president. So I wasn't shocked by it even a little bit. I'm going to be more curious as to how Chris Drury approaches the hire and the replacement of David Quinn, because the New York Rangers, you know, you guys might look at that roster differently than I do. I think that this team is a team that's going to be real close to ready to pop in a year or so. Maybe not next season. You know, you need to develop and let players get to where they need to be in their own time. But that speaks volumes to me when an inexperienced general manager president comes in and one of the first things he does is fire a buddy in David Quinn. So I'm not, you know, indicting David Quinn as a coach. It just seems to me the Rangers, and maybe ownership is pushing this, believe that they're closer to being a better team than what maybe the pre-existing management thought they were.
With our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. So the Maple Leafs are back in action tonight, and Nick Foligno's back in the lineup, Freddie Anderson back in the lineup. It sounds as if Hyman will be ready to go for game one. I don't know if he'll be activated and playing on Friday night. And it sounds like Riley Nash is a guy who's on the verge of playing. And I've contended since they acquired him, I think they got him to play him. Like, I think he's playing come game one.
Yeah.
But we saw him in practice yesterday on the third line. So not just a fourth line guy. Now, again, that's subject to change, and it's before we get to the real stuff here. But there's going to be some maneuvering here by Sheldon Keefe. But assuming health, I mean, the Leafs are going to be in a pretty good spot, and Keefe is going to have a lot of options in terms of what he wants to do with his lineup.
Yeah, and I think that's exciting, isn't it?
Like, absolutely.
From a market perspective, when you look at the ads, I like Riley Nash. I think that he is going to be a piece that the Toronto Maple Leafs need. You know, he's very defensive-minded. I mean, we don't have to go through everything that he can provide in that regard. We saw it firsthand. You know, Foligno healthy for sure is a much-needed add for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, bit spooked by the fact that, you know, he's had some spasm issues and everything else that's gone along with him of late. Freddie Anderson, to me, though, is the most intriguing. And I guess we'll see some of that tonight. What I expect is Ottawa is going to push because that's what Ottawa does. And they're coming off a game earlier this week where they were terrible. They were flat. And I wouldn't expect that they would be that way tonight. So Freddie is going to have an opportunity to at least show that, you know, some of the rust is knocked off. But right or wrong, goaltending is going to be, I think, the primary conversation going into the playoffs. And that might be unfair to Jack Campbell, who has played very well, and I don't have a doubt that he's going to continue to play that way. But if he lets a soft goal in and Freddie has to come in, and, you know, we've been down this street many, many, many times before. So the look of the Toronto Maple Leafs going in, I think, is excellent, but you can't just erase the pencil mark question marks because the question marks are still there.
Darren, we were talking earlier about how unfortunate this is for the fans. You've been to games in Winnipeg in the playoffs, Edmonton,
oh, man.
Montreal, Toronto, like the back and forth and everybody outside. It would just be so awesome. And it's such a shame they're missing this.
It's heartbreaking. Like,
it is.
You know, we've all been there. You know, we've all had the opportunity to cover the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs and the atmosphere around Montreal, the atmosphere post-game. And, you know, there isn't a restaurant or a bar that you can't go into Montreal after a game and it's buzzing. Like, it's just buzzing. And the same thing in Winnipeg. You know, I've had the good fortune of covering the Winnipeg Jets in the early rounds prior to the World Championships for a few years now, a number of years. And, you know, that the environment around the buildings in Winnipeg, in Edmonton, in Toronto, and obviously in Montreal, I mean, they're electric. And to not have that, I can't believe that is going to impact the players. But I guess they're all in the same boat. And so aside from watching the highlights that they're going to see with some of the U.S. teams that are enjoying having fans back in the building and how the loose restrictions allow people around the building and all that stuff, I guess you just got to hope for the best. But there's no question that it's going to have an adverse effect. For all of us, it is. No question.
Yep, it's going to be very unique. The whole ride has been. I wouldn't expect that to change come playoff time. Enjoy tonight. Bunch of games, and we're getting close to playoff time, so we'll do it again real soon. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Yeah, heartbreaking probably is the appropriate word. Like, if you're a sports
fan,
you're in Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and even if you're just a fan scattered throughout the country, you know, the idea of watching the Bell Center, the, you know, Scotiabank Arena, the rink in Winnipeg, like, think about how loud it would be with McDavid, you know, skating around in warm-up in Game 3.
What about the households in this city alone? And I'm sure there's households in Montreal, Hayes, where the kids are Habs fans, the parents are Leaf fans, or your uncle, like, just the, like, for them not to be a part of it, I feel awful for them. I really
that's
do.
What yeah. I was talking about that earlier. Like, we all know people that
their
are
house
Leaf,
is divided.
Leaf fans are, yeah, Leaf fans are Habs fans. You know, I know several on both sides, you know, close to even my family. Like, you know, Steph's a Leafs fan, and her dad is a Habs fan. Like, that's, ultimately, that's how it rolls around
Absolutely.
Our household. So, I mean, I just kind of sit back and enjoy the banter.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's, I guess, what we were trying to establish earlier is that, luckily, you can get on the phone, you can text, social media is going to be wild.
Right.
And try to trigger normalcy as much as possible in an abnormal world and abnormal experience because we're missing out. Like, the Leafs and Habs are playing in the playoffs for the first time in over 40 years. We can't go to the game. Can't go to a bar. Can't hang out with buddies.
Right.
It's definitely going to be different. It's going to feel different, but hopefully it establishes some sort of emotion. I'm sure it will. And the anticipation, I think, by this time next week will be boiling over. You know, people, I'm fired up, and we're still a week away. We're still, the Leafs still have to play more than one game. You know, they're going to play two games before you can even get to a point where you reset and start really game planning for the playoffs. Yeah. But it's too bad, and hopefully we get a chance to reignite this in the future. Again, this is East versus East, West versus West. So it, there is, of course, a chance. Like over the last 40 years, there's only been a pandemic, one of them. The Leafs and Habs didn't pull their weight. And mostly it was the Leafs that didn't pull their weight. You know, if you're not in the playoffs, you can't have a playoff battle, right? Like at some point, this will happen where the buildings will be packed and the commuting will happen. And, you know, this, what is it, 5 hours to Montreal, give or take? If you're driving, if you're flying, it's 45 minutes to an hour. You know, that it would have been packed both ways. The commuting would have been off the charts. It's a lot longer from Winnipeg to Edmonton, but people would make that trip. Would make that trip for sure. And listen, there's not much we can do. And it's not like it's fresh, right? We've been experiencing this for over a year. This is what we do now. This is how we this is how we interact. This is how we are entertained. So at least we're accustomed to it. As opposed to, imagine like last year it was on pace, it was already locked in, Leafs, Habs, and all of a sudden it's like, actually, we're not doing that anymore. Or,
the shutdowns are like right away and fresh, and we're not used to it, and people are frustrated. Like, we're still frustrated, but it's least, we're at least used to the frustration, for lack of better words, where everything was so new last year.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.